is Christian Questions.
Alicia Brilliant once said, "Sometimes the most urgent thing you can possibly do is to take a complete rest." Good morning, everyone, and welcome to Christian Questions, talk radio with a purpose with Jonathan and Rick. This isn't your typical Christian commentary. We love talking with our audience, and we promise to never talk at you like so many talk shows do today. This is a conversation about biblical topics as we look at them from a different perspective.
And Rick, that perspective is based on godly principles, family values, honest dialogue, all in a politically free zone.
Jonathan, the best part is this. We talk and you listen, and then you talk and we listen.
You can also contact us at our website, ChristianQuestions.net.
I'm Rick.
And I'm Jonathan.
And we're glad you're here. And actually, we're glad you're back.
Hey, it's good to be back.
Yeah, Kathy sat in for you last week.
I listened in Delaware.
In Delaware.
At my parents' home on our phone.
All right. See,
and
technology.
It sounded great. Sounded great. She did a wonderful
job. She did a wonderful job. She had a lot of fun being here, too.
Good.
And, of course, last week we were talking about love and marriage and all that. And today is the day that our buddy Matt, our board guy, our other board guy besides Fred, that is getting married.
Special day.
It is a special day today. So we're very glad for that. Anyway, folks, we're glad you're here with us this morning to spend time with us. What is our topic today?
Well, Rick, our question is, are the Christian and Jewish Sabbath the same? And our theme text is found in Exodus 20, verses 9 and 10. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath of the Lord your God.
So, the Sabbath. The Sabbath was put in place by God in a very unusual way. God demonstrated it. He proclaimed it as a way for his children, Israel, to stop their lives for a day and to be able to look up, look around, appreciate, gain perspective, and then, once it's over, once again move forward. In the Ten Commandments, the Sabbath is clearly on Saturday. Why, then, do most Christians not observe it that way? Has Christianity changed the rules that God himself put in place?
Ooh, good question.
This inquiring mind wants to know. Folks, stay with us this morning as we look into rest, the Sabbath, the Bible, and the role that we, as Christians, are called upon to play.
Well, Rick, rest is a foreign thing in our culture today.
Yeah, it is, unfortunately, and the concept of a day of rest is a brilliant...
Who has time to rest?
Let me just reread the quote we started the program with.
Okay.
Sometimes the most urgent thing you can possibly do is to take a complete rest. Okay, your rest time's over, though. You have work to do, buddy. So, we're going to be talking about the Sabbath, the application in the Old Testament, the application in the New Testament. And, folks, look, if you're a Christian, where do you stand on this? Do you take Saturday, because that is the seventh day, and do you use that as a Sabbath, as is commanded throughout the Old Testament, very specifically? And let's get started with that, Jonathan. You know, one of the things I mentioned was God demonstrated the Sabbath.
Right.
Does that mean that when he established it for human beings, he did it because he got tired and he needed to rest?
I don't think so.
Oh, poor God. He worked so hard creating all these things. Did he need to just sit back and go, let me catch my breath?
I don't think that's the reason.
Well, let's take a look at that. Genesis chapter 1, verse 31, and then we'll write into Genesis chapter 2, verses 1 to 3.
God saw all that he had made, and behold, it was very good. And there was evening, and there was morning, the sixth day. Thus the heavens and the earth were completed, and all their hosts. But the seventh day God completed his work, which he had done, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work which he had done. Then God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because in it he rested from all the work which God had created and made.
All right, so there is a lot in that set of scriptures in Genesis, the end of Genesis 1 and the beginning of Genesis 2. And this is focusing on the rest of God. He saw all that he had made. It was very good. And that was the sixth day. And then it says he rested from all the work that he had done on the seventh day. And it says it a couple of times. He rested.
Yeah. Now, Rick, you were a fine furniture maker early on in your career.
Yes, I was.
Now, it took a lot of work, a lot of detail, and you completed your piece. There it was.
Yeah.
Did you sit back, take it in and say, wow, look what I, you know, look how I did things. Look what the end result was from all the sacrifice, the effort that went into it. Did you look back and say, wow?
Yeah. Oh, and that's, that, of course, that's what you do. And as a matter of fact, even during the process, there are times where you stop and you look and you just wait. You know, you just kind of pause and consider and then get ready to go on to the next step. So that's a very, very good observation in terms of the kind of rest that God perhaps partook of. He says he rested. The word means literally to cease, cease and desist.
I know.
So it means to stop doing what you were doing. And again, and when we look at the principles of what the Sabbath is, we want to understand how God demonstrated it and then look at how it is applied both in the Old Testament and in the New Testament. And here's the big question, all right? So, Jonathan, you're a Christian.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, and that Christianity is like the big thing in your life, right?
Oh, number one.
All right. Nothing else comes?
The Lord is number one.
Oh, okay. All right. So here's the question then. Do you celebrate the Sabbath on Saturday the way God set it up?
No, I don't.
Now, why would you not do that? Folks, if you have a thought, it's 866-985-4255. Toll free, 866-985-4ALL. We are live Sunday mornings from 6 to 8. That means we're on right now.
And our website, ChristianQuestions.net.
We're talking about the Sabbath and how do we, and you know, what's your personal experience? What reasoning do you have for changing things up? I mean, that's kind of what it looks like. So you don't celebrate the Sabbath on Saturday?
No, I don't.
Even though God said that it should be done.
Yes, Rick. Thanks, Rick.
Okay, this is great. I'm going to have some fun with this morning.
Rick, also, God sanctified the seventh day.
All right, now what does it mean when you sanctify something?
It means to be clean, literally.
And you like that.
I like that.
Jonathan loves things to be squeaky, squeaky clean. Let me clue you. Clean and orderly is Jonathan's middle name. That's what we call him. Jonathan, Mr. Clean and Orderly. Have I got some stories I could tell you about?
No, don't.
Maybe we'll come back to that later. But anyway, so it says he rested, which means cease and desist. Mm-hmm. So he stopped whatever it was he was doing, and then he made that day clean. He made it special. He made a difference.
Mm-hmm.
All right, let's look at another example for that word sanctify.
For I am the Lord your God, you shall therefore sanctify yourselves, and you shall be holy, for I am holy. Neither shall you defile yourself with any manner of creeping thing that creepeth on the earth.
So he's talking to Israel, and he's saying that you should sanctify yourself. So sometimes God sanctifies or sets things apart, in sort of cleaning them.
Yeah.
Sometimes he tells us that we should do that for ourselves.
It's like taking a bath then.
Yeah, it is. In a sense, it's taking a spiritual bath. You're right.
Okay.
So that's a good way to look at it, actually. Let's, you know, when you think of the Sabbath, a lot of times I think of ancient or more traditional Jewish household mm-hmm. preparing for the Sabbath. And really, when you think about it, it's really a beautiful thing. To see the gathering together and the pulling of everything in and the stopping of everything. So we want to go to a few sound bites this morning from the movie Fiddler on the Roof. And folks, if you've never seen that movie, I would highly recommend it. It is a great movie of history, first of all, of the early 1900s. I think it was in Russia when the Tsar was taking over and the persecution of the Jews at that time. And in this particular soundbite, you have the parents of, you know, Tevye and his wife Golda are getting ready, preparing the children for the Sabbath. Fred, let's go to that first soundbite.
Martha, you're also eating with us? Oh, of course. Another blessing. Seidel, get the small table and carve the two chairs from outside. Children, finish dressing. You can wash at the well. Hurry, Huddle, help them. Hurry. Hurry, it's almost the Sabbath. Hurry! Tevye, I have something to say to you.
Why should today be different?
Tevye, I have something to tell you. Laser Wolf wants to see you.
The butcher? What is it about?
I don't know, only he says it's important.
What can be important? I have nothing for him to slaughter.
After the Sabbath, see him, talk with him.
Talk about what? If he's thinking about buying my new milk cow, he can forget it.
Kevya, I want you to talk.
Kevya,
I want you to talk to...
So, and here's the thing. There's the urgency of the moment because the sun is beginning to set.
Mm-hmm.
And at sunset, Sabbath begins. So everything is supposed to be done. Everything's supposed to be in place. Everybody is supposed to be ready for that moment. And, of course, there's that last-minute rush, and Golda wants Tevye to talk to this other guy. And, you know, it's a very urgent thing. Of course, he's getting ready. But I mean, he's doing his praying to avoid his wife, actually. He didn't listen to program last week, you know. But it just gives you a sense of the, again, the urgency of preparing for making sure that you stop. So that is one of the important things about the Sabbath that I really actually do very much appreciate about the Old Testament example.
And they also had to have everything clean and organized before.
Yes, they did. Let's look at Exodus chapter 31, verses 16 and 17. And this is Moses up on Mount Sinai.
So the sons of Israel shall observe the Sabbath to celebrate the Sabbath throughout their generations as a perpetual covenant. It is a sign between me and the sons of Israel forever. For in the 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, but on the seventh day he ceased from labor and was refreshed.
So that adds another detail to the description of the Sabbath that we hadn't discussed in the Genesis account. It says that he ceased from labor and he was refreshed.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And that word literally can mean to take a breath.
Ah.
Just very similar to what you were saying before. About you're building something. As again, I used to do build fine furniture and all of that. And after you create something, you put it up on the table and you look at it, and you take that breath, and there's satisfaction that the work is done and it looks complete and it looks right, and you know you had a vision in your mind of what you wanted it to be, and it's come out the way you wanted it. It fulfills the vision, and so there's this sense of not exhaustion, let me add, but it's a sense of exhilaration.
Good point.
Because, and it is a rest, but it's an exhilarating rest because of the completion of the task. And that word, when it says he was refreshed, can carry that sense to it. So I think that gives us a little bit of a different look at exactly how the Sabbath worked for God. It wasn't that he was tired and exhausted and the work of creation was too much. It was that he looked at it and behold, well, let's go back to Genesis 1:31.
God saw all that he had made, and behold, it was very good. And there was evening, and there was morning, the sixth day.
So it was, if you noticed, he's going through the creative days in Genesis, and it always says, and it was good, mm-hmm. and it was good. Well, when he finishes, it says, behold, it was
very good.
Very good. So that gives you that sense
it
of
does.
Sitting back and setting apart that day. That day of the satisfaction of the job well done and something put in motion that never was there before, but it is stopping the work that you were doing. So what we see so far is the Sabbath, as exemplified by God himself, was a time to stop. Do we as Christians do that?
This is Christian Questions. I'm Jonathan, here with Rick. Our subject this morning, are the Christian and Jewish Sabbath the same? Coming up, how severe were the penalties for not keeping the Sabbath? It's a grave responsibility. That's next.
You're listening to Christian Questions.
Welcome back. This is Christian Questions. I'm Jonathan, here with Rick. Our subject this morning, are the Christian and Jewish Sabbath the same? To be a part of our program, call toll-free 866-985-4255. That's 866-985-4ALL. We're live Sunday mornings from 6 to 8. That means we're on right now. And our website, ChristianQuestions.net.
So we're looking at, in the first segment, we looked at God establishing the Sabbath by actually demonstrating it. and giving us something to mimic in terms of what he did. He did the work of creation, and then it says, and then he rested. And in another place it says, and then he was refreshed, mm-hmm. taking a breath, and it wasn't a breath.
Taking it all in.
Right. It wasn't a breath catching his breath.
No.
But it was taking a breath to take in the work that had been done. So, folks, what do you think? As a Christian, do you celebrate the Sabbath on Saturday? And if not, why not? I mean, that's what God said to do. It's pretty obvious in the scriptures here. Let's look at Exodus. So, give us a call at 866-985-4255. Toll free, 866-985-4ALL. We are live Sunday mornings from 6 to 8. That means we're on right now.
And you got to check out Facebook and our always updated blog. It's great on our website at ChristianQuestions.net.
That is the first commandment from Jonathan. You must check out. Go to ChristianQuestions.net. You can find everything right there at ChristianQuestions.net. Jonathan, we touched on Exodus 31, but we read one verse. So let's go back and fill in some of the context in that conversation of God to Moses on Mount Sinai, Exodus 31, 12 to 17.
The Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "But as for you, speak to the sons of Israel, saying, 'You shall surely observe my Sabbaths. For this is a sign between me and you throughout your generations, that you may know that I am the Lord who sanctifies you.'"
All right, so there are several points in there that God is explaining to Moses the reason, the purpose of the Sabbath for Israel. So let's go over quickly some of those points.
The Sabbath was for the sons of Israel to identify them with their God.
So it was a method of setting them apart.
It was.
For themselves and obviously for others to look in on.
And the Sabbath was a generational arrangement.
So he said, you will do this throughout your generations.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not just for you and your kids, but it's for you and your children and your children's children and your children's children's children and so forth and so on.
And the Sabbath was evidencing the fact of God setting them apart.
So it was to identify them with God, to be a generational thing, and to evidence the fact that they were set apart, that they were chosen out of the human race.
That's right. That reminds me of that scripture, "You only have I known of all the families of the earth."
And remember, several weeks ago, we talked about, does God play favorites?
Mm-hmm.
And we did a two-part program on
that's
that.
Right.
And this fits exactly into the thinking behind that. Yes, he does. And this Sabbath is just another evidence of that favoritism on the part of God. Let's continue in Exodus 31 with verses 14 to 15.
"Therefore, you are to observe the Sabbath, for it is holy to you. Everyone who profanes it shall surely be put to death. For whoever does any work on it, that person shall be cut off from among his people. For 6 days work may be done, but on the seventh day there is a Sabbath of complete rest, holy to the Lord. Whoever does any work on the Sabbath day shall surely be put to death."
Now, those are very strong words.
Mm.
Anybody who does any work at all on the Sabbath day.
I think God got their attention. With that rule.
Yes, yeah, and it's very dramatic. Now, we want to remember those words because later on in the program, we're going to look at the things that Jesus did on the Sabbath. And when you see the words that are so focused here, anyone who does any work on the Sabbath, there's grave penalties. And yet Jesus seemed to violate all of that.
Well, we'll see. Well, Rick, do you celebrate the Sabbath on Saturday as a Christian?
No, I don't. So he's
why?
I grilled him last segment if you missed it. Why would I not do what God says? Anyone who does any work on the seventh day shall be put to death. Mm. Why would I not want to follow that rule? That's what you're saying.
That's what I'm saying.
And I'll give you an answer, just not right now. Coming up later on, so stay with us. So there are penalties for not following the Sabbath, and they're severe.
They are.
And just like so many parts of the Old Testament law, there were severe penalties for, remember there were severe penalties for disrespecting your parents?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, same kind of penalty. So God was not messing around with Israel. He was giving them, these are the things that I want you to do, and here's the penalty if you don't. It's a very strict society. There's no question about that. So let's continue with the Exodus 31 scripture, and this is God talking to Moses, relaying the message that Moses is supposed to relay to the rest of Israel.
"The sons of Israel shall observe the Sabbath to celebrate the Sabbath throughout their generations as a perpetual covenant. It is a sign between me and the sons of Israel forever. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, but on the seventh day he ceased from labor and was refreshed.
All right, so we are really, we're making the case really against what you do, Jonathan, what you do.
How about what you do?
I said it first. It is a case that says you are to put this throughout your generations as a perpetual covenant. And if something is perpetual, what does that mean? It doesn't go away.
That's right.
So he's putting that in place, and he's making it very, very, very clear. What else can we get from these couple of verses here?
It's a constant reminder of the pattern that God himself had set.
So God sets a pattern in place by resting.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not only the fact that he does it, but by his grace, he wants to let us know that he did it. And that's why it was written down.
That's right.
I mean, look, because, you know, Moses wrote the first 5 books of the Bible. Moses wasn't there when God rested.
You're right.
You know, so he was given the inspiration to understand by God himself, to understand what God himself had done. So he rests, he sits back, he appreciates the work that had been done, and he's saying, you too should do this. Folks, do you celebrate the Sabbath? 866-985-4255, toll free 866-985-4ALL. We are live Sunday mornings from 6 to 8. That means we're on right now.
And our website, ChristianQuestions.net. And this, Rick, would be a great program to go to CQ Rewind on our website.
Yeah, and as we develop the program, you're going to see more and more reasons for CQ Rewind, especially the full edition. And it's a real simple thing. You go there, you click on the CQ Rewind link, you can choose to sign up for the full edition. It is a free service. And what happens is you'll get an email once a week with a link, and you just get the notes from the program.
And then you can listen to the review of the program while you're reading the information at the same time.
Right, right.
That really helps in Bible study.
And, you know, a special bonus for CQ Rewind, just might add that, you know, Kathy basically asked if I had a perm when I got married. And in the CQ Rewind from last week, there's actually a picture of why she would have asked such a question.
Ooh, better check it
out. That's all I'm going to say. It's just right there, and it's available at ChristianQuestions.net. No, I didn't have a perm, okay? But anyway, so we've got this scripture in Exodus 31 where God is explaining to Moses the depth of importance of the Sabbath. And obviously, it is something that they have to pay very strict and close attention to. Let's take a moment. Let's go back to the sound bites from Fiddler on the Roof. This is preparing for the Sabbath. Now, remember the last sound bite, last segment, Tevye Golda, his wife, is trying to tell him something. I want you to talk to Laser Wolf. And Tevye is trying to sort of ignore it. And he's doing he's praying because he just, you know, so now she's going to wait a little bit. Let's listen to the interchange.
Amen. A man sends you an important message. At least you can talk to him.
I don't want to talk.
Talk to him!
All right! After the Sabbath, I'll talk to him. Well, it's getting late. Where is everybody?
I don't know, Papa.
Children, come down, children. We are lighting the candles. Children.
Tevye.
Not now, Mottle. Hurry up, children. Hurry up.
Tevye.
Not now, Mottle. Golder. Golder, the sun is almost down.
Reb Tevye.
What is it?
Reb Tevye.
Yes.
Reb Tevye.
Yes. Yes.
I...
Yes. Well, Mottle, what is it?
Good Sabbath, Reb Tevye.
Good Sabbath. Good Sabbath.
See, now, you have to understand, Mottle wants to marry his oldest daughter.
But that's not the way of the times, is it?
No, no. So he's... And Golda, Tevye's wife, wants Tevye to talk to Laser Wolf because Golda has talked to the matchmaker who wants his oldest daughter to marry the other guy.
Yeah.
So Muddle needs to, you know, get a backbone is what he needs.
Step up.
That's right. And talk to him. So he's going to try to talk to him before the Sabbath. Because here's the thing. If you say the words and talk to him before the Sabbath, you don't have to get the big reaction because on the Sabbath, everything stops.
Ooh.
But he just doesn't have the backbone to do it. So but here's the thing. In the soundbite, they're rushing around because the sun is going to set and everybody wants to be in place to be able to take that breath and to stop and to be able to appreciate and enjoy the rest that God has put before them.
That reminds me of the word Selah. in the Old Testament means pause and consider.
Yeah, and in a lot of the Psalms have that in the middle of the Psalm. You'll see mm-hmm. that word, and it's basically consider what was just written. Consider what was just spoken about, because you need to gain something from it. Yeah, and that's almost like a mini Sabbath, if you will, a pausing and considering, because I think that's really largely what the Sabbath was about. Folks, if you have a thought, we're talking about the Sabbath. We're talking about the Sabbath as Christians. Do you celebrate the Sabbath on Saturday the way it is in the Scriptures? I mean, it's very specifically Saturday in the Scriptures. Let us know what you think. 866-985-4255, toll free, 866-985-4ALL. We're live Sunday mornings from 6 to 8. That means we're on right now.
And our website, ChristianQuestions.net.
All right, so when was the Sabbath given to Israel by God? I mean, you know, because we always think about it, the fourth commandment says, remember the Sabbath day to mm-hmm. keep it holy.
Now, was it before the Ten Commandments?
It was. And see, that's an interesting point here, is even before the Ten Commandments, the Sabbath was put in place, giving it even more strength, if you will. Let's look back to Exodus chapter 16, verses 22 to 30.
On the sixth day, they gathered twice as much, two omers for each person, and the leaders of the community came and reported this to Moses. And he said to them, "This is what the Lord commanded. Tomorrow is to be a day of rest, a holy Sabbath to the Lord. So bake what you want, bake or boil what you want to boil, save what is left, and keep it until morning." So they saved it until morning, as Moses commanded, and it did not stink or get maggots on it. "Eat it today," Moses said, "because today is a Sabbath to the Lord. You will not find any of it on the ground today."
So the manna that was brought to them from heaven.
Manna from heaven, bread from heaven.
It was a miracle to have this manna delivered to them on a regular basis. On the sixth day, they were supposed to gather twice as much. Because remember, they couldn't keep it overnight because it would spoil.
That's right.
But on the sixth day, what happened?
Well, they were supposed to take twice as much and it wouldn't spoil. They can keep it leftovers for the next day. But on the seventh day, Rick, there would be no manna on the ground.
So if they didn't prepare ahead, now any other day they couldn't prepare ahead.
Right.
But the sixth day, God miraculously said, you can gather twice as much. You'll have plenty for the Sabbath. You don't go out to try to find any. You won't find it. But I'm taking care of you. So their very sustenance was dependent upon acting in accordance with the Sabbath.
It really was.
All right, let's just read the next part of the scripture, and then we'll go to the phones.
6 days you are to gather, but on the seventh day, the Sabbath, there will not be any. Nevertheless, some of the people went out on the seventh day to gather it, but they found none. Then the Lord said to Moses, "How long will you refuse to keep my commandments and my instructions?"
He sounds just like a father.
"Bear in mind that the Lord has given you the Sabbath. That is why on the sixth day he gives you bread for 2 days. Everyone is to stay where he is on the seventh day. No one is to go out." So people rested on the seventh day.
So he's very emphatic about making sure things are done in the right way. Jonathan, let's go to the phones.
All right. Well, we have Celeste from Indiana. Good morning, Celeste, and welcome to Christian Questions.
Good morning. Thank you for taking my call.
Well, thank you for joining us.
I have some information I'd like to add to your question about celebrating Sabbath.
Sure.
According to what I know, that's old Mosaic law.
Okay.
So in turn, it's something that I don't follow to the letter.
Uh-huh.
According to what I know, and I know in I believe it's Revelations. I don't exactly know chapter or verse. But basically, I believe it was when the apostles, I'm not going to go there. Anyway, but it's old Mosaic law, and since Jesus came, the new laws were formed.
Okay.
So they're not as burdensome.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I have.
Okay, so basically you're putting that in a very particular sense in the Old Testament saying, but the New Testament tells us to do something a little bit different, built upon what was the Old Testament.
Correct.
All right. Celeste, thanks so much. We appreciate your calling in.
Thank you.
Have a great day.
Thanks.
And, you know, I think that she was referring to a scripture in Revelation, which we're actually planning on getting to later. So, Celeste, stay with us for the second hour, and we'll discuss that in some detail. But she's bringing out an important point. As a Christian, we look at the Old Testament as sort of a building block for the New Testament. But we don't take everything necessarily literally in the Old Testament. that for the new. However, just one other point on that is the Sabbath was one of the Ten Commandments.
Oh, it was, yeah.
Okay, keeping the Sabbath. Now, do we as Christians believe that we should keep all of those Ten Commandments, or only nine of them relevant? So, what do you do with that? Because when you look at the Ten Commandments, you say, yeah, this makes sense, and this one makes sense, and this one makes sense. So we'll get to that as well. So lots coming up, Jonathan. And really, the bottom line is the first institution, the human institution of the Sabbath, was given at a time when Israel's miraculous support was dependent on God feeding them, and yet they were to rest, and he took care of them anyway.
This is Christian Questions. I'm Jonathan, here with Rick. Our subject: are the Christian and Jewish Sabbath the same? Were there other Sabbaths from Israel? If so, what are they? That's next.
You're listening to Christian Questions.
Welcome back. This is Christian Questions. I'm Jonathan, here with Rick. Our subject this morning: are the Christian and Jewish Sabbaths the same? To be a part of our program, call toll-free 866-985-4255. That's 866-985-4ALL. We're live Sunday mornings from 6 to 8. That means we're on right now. And our website, ChristianQuestions.net.
And Jonathan, you know, this is one of those subjects that you can have two very different opinions, and there's a lot of things to talk about on either side of it.
That's right.
We had just had Celeste call in from Indiana talking about the fact that, okay, Sabbath is a part of the old Mosaic law, and, you know, Jesus changed some of those things.
Mm-hmm.
Also in the first hour, someone called in from Indiana who didn't want to go on the air, but basically said, oh, no, this is you can't change the Bible. The Sabbath is Saturday. You need to stay with the Sabbath. It's Saturday. God said so in many, many places. She's right, and he's right. How can they both be right?
Sounds like Fiddler on the Roof to me.
Yeah, that's another line from Fiddler on the Roof. Yeah, no, you're also right. Interestingly, Jonathan, there was a whole system of Sabbaths that the Jews were given by God.
So not just on the
seventh day. Right. They had, the system of Sabbaths was, it was a Sabbath days and Sabbath years, the seventh day Sabbath.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and then they had the 50th day. After seven Sabbaths, the 50th day was considered another day of Sabbath, a day of rest, or day of Pentecost, Penta 50. They also had a system of Sabbaths measured by years.
Not just days, but years.
Right.
Also.
The seventh year was a Sabbath year for the land. They weren't supposed to plant in the seventh year.
Wow.
It was a year of rest. The 50th year, 7 times 7 plus 1 is 50th, was a year of Jubilee, and that was a great day of rest and a day of putting things back in order, if you will.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So now, there's a lot of detail on that, and we don't have time to talk about it. We don't have time to go over the scriptures, but where can people find all of that information?
Well, first, they have to go to our website, ChristianQuestions.net.
Well, they can find it in the Bible. Let's make sure we understand that.
Of course.
But if you want it compiled, you got to go to ChristianQuestions.net.
And CQ Rewind.
CQ Rewind, the full edition. The only place you're going to find all of it compiled is in the full edition, the bonus material at the end. Again, you can sign up for it. It's a free service. You can unsubscribe at any time with a click of a button.
Puts all those scriptures right in front of you.
Right, and we put them in order to make it sensible. So you have all of these things. Now, let's go. So keep that in mind. We're going to come back to that in a second.
Okay.
Let's go now to the Ten Commandments. Let's look at how the fourth commandment about the Sabbath is written and what the explanation is.
Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work. But the seventh day is a Sabbath of the Lord your God. In it you shall not do any work, you or your son or your daughter, your male or your female servant or your cattle or your sojourner who stays with you. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, and the sea and all that is in them, and rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy.
Here's the interesting thing, Jonathan. We look at the Ten Commandments and we say, okay, as a Christian, do you believe in the Ten Commandments?
Yes.
All right. So this fourth commandment, not only does it give the commandment, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy, it gives a paragraph to explain it.
And why you should.
Right. And no other commandment has so much explanation. So, Jonathan, are you telling me,
Hey, are you looking at me?
I'm looking at you. Are you telling me that you as a Christian believe in the Ten Commandments, and yet are you ignoring this whole paragraph of explanation on the fourth commandment?
Depends how you look at it.
and really, that needs to be unfolded and developed as we go through, so I'm going to let him off the hook just for a moment. Jonathan, let's take a whole different look very quickly here. Let's look at an Islamic perspective on rest, because as we know, Islam has a day, their holy day is Friday. Mm-hmm. The Jewish holy day, Sabbath, is Saturday, and for Christians, it's Sunday. I just want to get a quick shot of a Muslim perspective on this. We're going to hear from Khalid Yashin, and this is from oneislam.net explaining Friday.
We were given the order to worship on a day called Friday, but it's in Arabic, it's not Friday, it's called Jum'ah. Jum'ah means a day of gathering. So what we were ordered to do is, at noontime, or approximately thereof, on Friday, the Muslim men especially are ordered to stop their work, stop their business, stop their occupations, and go and pray in congregation. Now that congregational prayer on Friday only takes probably maybe half an hour, 45 minutes at the most. And after that, we can eat, drink, work, earn money. So there's nothing, no restrictions.
All right, so what he's saying is, in the Muslim perspective, is Friday is a day of congregational worship.
Mm-hmm.
So at noon, you're supposed to drop what you're doing, similar to the Jewish custom of making sure everything was in place before the sundown.
Right.
And come together and pray. But once that's done, you just go back to your life. So it's a very different approach to the Jewish approach, which was really resting from everything, taking a deep breath, and taking a day of reflection and rest where you don't do any work.
And not only the families, but the sojourners who stayed with them. The whole community goes to rest.
So you see that the Jewish perspective on Sabbath was very comprehensive. The mm-hmm. Muslim perspective on this day of worship was to focus on the congregational worship, which was for a short period of time. And now the Christian perspective, what is that about? Well, we're going to get to that in the next hour, so you want to stay with us for that. Folks, if you have a thought, we're talking about the Sabbath, and how do you view the Sabbath as a Christian? Maybe you're not a Christian, you're listening in. What do you think of this whole thing? 866-985-4255, toll free 866-985-4ALL. We are live Sunday mornings from 6 to 8. That means we're on right now.
And our website, christianquestions.net. And what do our listeners do if they don't want to call in? Could they email us?
They could. Funny you should mention that. There is we have a personal email, Rick, R-A-C-K, at christianquestions.net. If you have questions or comments, that's a personal email. You'll get a timely personal response there. And just another way to communicate. Also, Jonathan, sometimes folks call and they sort of get a little scared about going on the air.
Mm-hmm.
And so what our screener will do is to talk to them and get their thoughts together, and we can, you know, mention them.
Good.
So even if you call and you're feeling brave and then you get in and you're not feeling so brave, that's okay. She's really good. She's very, very sweet in terms of handling these things.
Yes, she is.
So let us know, 866-985-4255. Jonathan, let's touch on a scripture very quickly here. And just want to touch on it about the day of Pentecost. We mentioned that, and we're not going to read the whole thing. At the beginning of Leviticus 13, starting with verse 16, it says, count off 50 days after the seventh Sabbath, and then you have this thing happening. Jump down to verse 21.
On that same day, you are to proclaim a sacred assembly and do no regular work. This is to be a lasting ordinance for the generations to come, wherever you live.
Here's an important question before we go back to the phones. If we as Christians are celebrating that seventh day Sabbath and saying, well, it's in the Bible, you can't change what's in the Bible, do we celebrate with the same regularity the 50th day Sabbath? Because God describes it the same way, saying this is to be a lasting ordinance for the generations to come.
Oh, that's a good question.
Do we celebrate that one? Do we celebrate the seventh year? Do we celebrate the 50th year? If we don't, then why would we do one if we don't do the other? Just a thought, just a question.
Well, Rick, let's go back to the phones. We have Julius from Connecticut. Good morning, Julius, and welcome to Christian Questions.
Gentlemen, good morning.
Good morning.
It's an interesting question here about the Sabbath. It's for sure we can say that God does not weary. He does not get tired.
Right.
We agree on that. So it seems to be, I like Celeste, the lady that called Celeste earlier, about the letter versus the spirit of the law. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 6, Paul talks about that the letter killeth, but the spirit maketh alive. And our Lord Jesus, he accentuated that. He dramatized it in Luke 6 as well as Matthew 12, where they questioned him about the Sabbath, and he rebutted them by saying, well, would you save a sheep that is lost, you know, that is in the ravine on the verge of dying? Wouldn't you save it on the Sabbath? I think that shows, again, the spirit of the letter versus the spirit of the law. And they're also, I think we call them pictures, types, and any types within the biblical analysis. And it's a known fact that we benefit from resting one day of the week. Our brain rejuvenates, our bodies rejuvenate. There's that aspect too also. And also you mentioned the years. On the seventh year, the land was to rest. The land, the soil, seems to benefit from that. So everything that God does is for a good reason. God bless. Thank you.
Thank you, Joyce. Appreciate your call.
All right, Fred, let's start the next soundbite. I'll talk over the introduction of it. You know, Jonathan, this is from The Fiddler on the Roof. This is the Sabbath prayer song. And just remember, in the soundbites that we had previous, everybody's rushing to get ready. And now the sun is setting, and they're lighting the Sabbath candles, and everything stops. And they become solemn and focused on those things that are important. There's something deeply profound about doing this. And here is, from the movie Fiddler on the Roof, the Sabbath prayer song.
The Lord protect and defend you. May He always shield you from shame. May you come to be in Israel a shining name. May you be like Ruth and like Esther. May you be deserving of praise. Strengthen them, O Lord, and keep them from the stranger's ways. May God bless you and grant you long life.
The Lord fulfill our Sabbath prayer for you. May God make you good mothers and wives,
husbands who will care for you. May the Lord protect and defend you. May the Lord preserve you from pain.
May the Lord preserve you from pain.
Doesn't that give you a sense of the peace and the solitude on that particular day and how important it was to just stop so
yes.
you could consider?
Yes.
And so that gives us the reason for the Sabbath. And, Jonathan, it is a profound reason.
It is.
So we as Christians, how do we deal with that? And there's a scripture we won't be able to read. We are running out of time here. But in Leviticus 16, 29 to 34, it talks about the Day of Atonement being a once-a-year again, another kind of Sabbath, another kind of rest. And again, if you're a Christian, what happened to that? So all of this, Jonathan, adds up to a big question that we have just not answered.
That's right.
And really, we've looked at a lot of the Old Testament and how, interestingly, on the Day of Atonement, the priesthood who was anointed and consecrated, they're the ones who made the atonement. They're the ones who did the sacrifices. So you know what that means?
They did some work.
They worked. So after all of this talk about nobody doing anything, what we see is during every Sabbath, the priesthood had work responsibilities. Now, does that play into us looking at this from a Christian standpoint? In the second hour, we're going to find out. For Jonathan and Rick, it's Christian Questions. We're talking about the Sabbath, the Jewish Sabbath, and the Christian expression of the Sabbath. Are they the same or different? Don't go away. We'll be back after the news and all of that. But till then, the Sabbath. Think about it.
Is Christian Questions.
Benjamin Franklin once said, "He that can take rest is greater than he that can take cities." Good morning, everyone, and welcome to Christian Questions Talk Radio with your breakfast with Jonathan and Rick. This isn't your typical Christian commentary. We love talking with our audience, and we promise to never talk at you like so many talk shows do today. This is a conversation about biblical topics as we look at them from a different perspective. And Jonathan, what is the big question today? It's actually a very good question.
It is, Rick. And the question is, are the Christian and Jewish Sabbaths the same? And our theme text is found in Exodus chapter 20, verses 9 and 10. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath of the Lord your God.
So we are looking at the Sabbath. We are looking at it in the first hour. We spent looking at it from the standpoint of the Old Testament. And the initiation of the Sabbath was God himself resting on the seventh day.
That's right.
Now, we also discussed...
He was an example.
Right. Now, but did he rest because he was tired?
No.
Not because he was exhausted?
No, he did not.
He rested from the work that he had done, and it was a sort of a pause and consider and a satisfaction of what had been completed.
Look at the work that I did before me.
Right. So God does that and says we should rest because he made the seventh day holy. Remember, it says he sanctified it.
That's right.
And we also discussed the fact that Jonathan is a Christian, and he doesn't do a Sabbath, seventh-day Sabbath rest, do you?
No, and we established that, Rick, you also, being a Christian, don't either.
So how is it that you, those of us who say that we follow the Scriptures wholeheartedly, don't take that Sabbath day, that seventh Saturday, if you will, and focus on it exactly the way it was laid out in the Old Testament?
Rick, I loved your quote. And Benjamin Franklin, he that can take rest is greater than he that can take cities. There is power in rest.
And I think that's one of the reasons that God put the Sabbath in place, the great power of rest, which makes me ask you, Jonathan, well, why don't you do it then? We want to welcome in our audience at WNOX 100.3 Knoxville, Tennessee. We're glad you're joining us for this hour. I want to remind you that that first hour is available live online if you go to christianquestions.net and hit the Listen Live button. Of course, you would have had to do that, you know, an hour ago. But anytime you want to go to listen to us live and you're not in near a radio, you can get it, christianquestions.net, Listen Live, 6 in the morning to 8 in the morning on Sundays. Or you can get the archives at christianquestions.net. This program will be uploaded to the website a little bit later today, and you can get that first hour content as well. So again, welcome in WNOX 100.3 in Knoxville.
Well, if you have more to say after the program, you can write us at Christian Questions, P.O. Box 1837, New London, Connecticut 06320. And you can contact us at our web at christianquestions.net. Also at our website, CQ Rewind. CQ Rewind is two parts. The first is the summary version. That includes excerpts from the program, transcript, and scriptural citations. It's a free download. The second is CQ Rewind, the full edition. That's available by email sign-up only, and that includes comprehensive excerpts, transcript, and fully quoted scriptures, plus bonus material, all presented in a reader-friendly format full of graphics and illustrations. Also, that's available free of charge. Just sign up. Check them out at christianquestions.net. CQ Rewind. You heard the program, now see it as well.
And that is a great opportunity for you. And as a matter of fact, our chief rewinder, Julie, went away to Hawaii for a couple of weeks. And she sent us a package, Jonathan, that she instructed me to bring to the studio. And so, and it's full of chocolate.
Yes.
All from
How did she know?
All from Hawaii. So, you know, here we are at this early hour, munching away on chocolate during the commercials. Thank you, Julie. We appreciate it very much. She knows our weak spot.
Yes.
All right, Jonathan, let's focus on this subject now. We are going to focus now on Jesus, because Jesus is our teacher. Jesus was Jewish,
mm-hmm.
therefore he kept the Sabbath.
That's right.
All right, so let's go and look at some scriptures that give us a sense of what Jesus believed and what Jesus did in relation to his understanding of the Sabbath. We'll start with Matthew 5, verses 17 to 19.
Do not think that I came to abolish the law or the prophets. I did not come to abolish, but to fulfill. For truly I say to you, until heaven and earth pass away, not the smallest letter or stroke shall pass from the law until all is accomplished. Whoever then annuls one of the least of these commandments and teaches others to do the same shall be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever keeps and teaches them, he shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven.
So Jesus himself is saying that you want to make sure that all of these things are kept in place until all is accomplished. Now, that's an interesting phrase that he puts in place. So he is saying that at some point, the following after the law so specifically is going to end, because he says until all is accomplished.
Interesting.
So that's an important point to put in place, to say, okay, well, what does that mean and how does that apply? Jonathan, there's a lot to be said about the historical changes that happened, because Christians use Sunday as their day of worship.
They do.
And Israel used Saturday. Well, that's a good question. And there are many who say that Constantine in the 300s was the one who actually instituted that. That's not entirely the case. I want to play a soundbite from Got Questions Ministries about Constantine. And did Constantine, was he the one to change the Sabbath?
It is not secret knowledge that in 321, Constantine decreed, on the venerable day of the sun, let the magistrates and people residing in cities rest, and let all workshops be closed. That's from the Codex Justinianus. Constantine seems to have made this change himself, and not through the papacy, since the papacy had not really come into being at that time. The papacy grew gradually out of the office of bishop, and for many years this was centered in Rome. In any case, it should be noted that in doing this, Constantine is not changing the Sabbath. He is merely making Sunday the official day of rest for the Roman Empire.
All right, so it's a very simple statement, and I think it's important to put it in the context that, and he says, he decreed, on the venerable day of the sun, let the people rest. Now, the day of the sun, that is not a Christian or a Jewish saying.
No, it's not.
It's pagan.
It sounds it.
No, it is. It's
sun, S-U-N.
Right. Through and through pagan, the day of the birth of the sun, the physical sun in the sky. So what he did is he simply put Sunday, that's why it's called Sunday. I mean, think about it, our week is even pagan, for goodness sakes, in place as a day, official national day of rest for Rome. And we will find Christianity actually changed things around long before Constantine was even thought of. Okay, so that's something that I just wanted to address very quickly here. Folks, if you have a thought, we're talking about the Sabbath. What are your thoughts? Should we be following the Saturday law that God was so clear on? Or does Sunday work, and why does it work? 866-985-4255, toll free, 866-985-4ALL. We are live Sunday mornings from 6 to 8. That means we're on right now.
And we want to hear from you about what you think on today's subject. So post your comments on our Facebook page and our blog. That's again at CQChristianQuestions.net.
At ChristianQuestions.net. That's right. And the blog is a great place to go to have an ongoing conversation about this this subject matter. Jonathan, let's go to chapter 12, verses 1 through 8. Now, this is a very important scripture, because this gives us a sense of Jesus' perspective on the Sabbath. He says some very important things here. I might interrupt you. So what else is there?
Really? At that time, Jesus went through the grain fields on the Sabbath. His disciples were hungry and began to pick some heads of grain and eat them. When the Pharisees saw this, they said to him, "Look, your disciples are doing what is unlawful on the Sabbath."
All right, so right there, they're watching, and it's like they're waiting to pounce on whatever
he did. We got you.
Yeah, that's it. They're looking for the gotcha. And, you know, they're working because they're picking food. They're rubbing the grain between their hands to get the chaff off so they
can
eat it.
Shame on them.
Well, and that's what the Pharisees are saying. So what happens?
He answered, "Haven't you read what David did when he and his companions were hungry? He entered the house of God, and he and his companions ate the consecrated bread, which was not lawful for them to do, but only for the priests. Or haven't you read in the law that on the Sabbath the priests in the temple desecrate the day and yet are innocent?"
All right, so he gives two very clear examples. David, who they revere, and his men actually ate the consecrated bread in the temple. I mean, that's a whole lot worse than going and just, you know, getting the grain. He says they would, that was against the law. And he says the priesthood, they work on the Sabbath. So what are you doing with that? So he's very specific to come back with historical scriptural examples to answer their questions.
"I tell you that one greater than the temple is here. If you had known what these words mean, 'I desire mercy, not sacrifice,' you would not have condemned the innocent, for the Son of Man is Lord of the Sabbath."
So he proclaims himself Lord of the Sabbath. He talks about Old Testament examples of people not doing, living up to that letter, but there's something about the spirit of the law that needs to be considered here.
Which Julius talked about in his earlier call.
So is it that God doesn't care about keeping that Sabbath, or does God care? And things are just a little different according to what Jesus is saying. Because he calls himself Lord of the Sabbath. What does that mean? So let's go to another soundbite here, Jonathan, very quickly here. This is from Gary C. Michael. And it is about, he believes that the seventh-day Sabbath should be followed by Christians. And here he's giving a perspective on what others in Christianity, like us, what he thinks we think.
The fourth commandment is found in the book of Exodus, chapter 20, verses 8 through 11. And it's clear from reading this text that the seventh day of the week, the day we call Saturday, is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. There's no doubt about that. As a matter of fact, some of the people who say that it's okay to keep Sunday, they realize and they recognize and they admit that Saturday is the true Sabbath, but they think that God doesn't care. That it really doesn't matter which day you worship them. They say you should worship God every day.
All right. So, and no, it's not that we think that God doesn't care. I just I think that there's something else in place that we need to unfold. Let's go, Jonathan, to the phones very quickly here.
All right. We have Beth from Tennessee. Welcome to Christian Questions, Beth.
Hey, good morning, guys.
Good morning.
I wanted to add something to the conversation. I read a great book by Wayne Muller called The Sabbath, Finding Rest, Renewal, and Delight in Our Busy Lives. And I would just like to propose, and he makes the point that the Sabbath is all about rest and renewal and restoration. And we can do that at any time. We can, you know, stop and praise God by taking a walk or by spending time with our children or by, you know, reading the Bible. And I just want to read this really quick quote from the book. It says, "The practice of Shabbat or Sabbath is designed specifically to restore us a gift of time in which we allow the cares and concerns of the marketplace to fall away. We set aside time to delight in being alive, to savor the gift of creation, and to give thanks for the blessings we may have missed in our necessary preoccupation with our work. It is a day of delight, a sanctuary in time. Within this sanctuary, we make ourselves available to the insights and blessings that arise only in stillness and time." So I thought that was a really good point, just to kind of be a rebel and throw a wrench in it. You know, I know that the Bible tells us how to keep the Sabbath and when, but that's kind of an idea that I like as well. I just wanted to share that.
Beth, what was the name of that book again?
The name of the book is Sabbath, Finding Rest, Renewal, and Delight in Our Busy Lives. And it's by Wayne Muller, M-U-L-L-E-R.
All right, Beth, thanks so much. We need to run, but thanks. We really appreciate your contribution.
Okay, thank you. Love you guys.
Take care.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Good points. And Jonathan, I think she's getting to something that we're going to see that Jesus is Lord of the Sabbath put in place. Now, again, we don't have time to read this whole scripture. That's why you got to get CQ Rewind, the full edition.
That's right.
Because this scripture will be in there.
At ChristianQuestions.net.
Matthew, Mark chapter 12, verses 28 to 31. Jesus is given the point of, okay, what's the greatest of the commandments? And he homogenizes some of the commandments together and says, these are the greatest of the commandments. And what he's doing is he's saying, focusing on honoring and worshiping God, loving your neighbor as yourself. This is the essence of what the commandments are all about. There's something special here.
This is Christian Questions. I'm Jonathan here with Rick. Our subject, are the Christian and Jewish Sabbaths the same? Did Jesus keep the Sabbath perfectly or not? That's next.
You're listening to Christian Questions.
Welcome back. This is Christian Questions. I'm Jonathan here with Rick. Our subject this morning, are the Christian and Jewish Sabbaths the same? To be a part of our program, call toll-free 866-985-4255. That's 866-985-4ALL. We're live Sunday mornings from 6 to 8. That means we're on right now. And our website, ChristianQuestions.net.
All right, so Jonathan, we're really getting into this thing now and looking at Jesus' own example of keeping the Sabbath. And at the end of the last segment, you really put it out there. Did he keep the Sabbath perfectly or not? Because he was supposed to have fulfilled the law perfectly.
Right.
So the things that he did on the Sabbath, were they in accordance with the Sabbath or were they against the Sabbath? Let's go to, and folks, again, if you have a thought, we'd love to get your perspective on which way you, which side of the aisle you fall on this one. 866-985-4255, toll free, 866-985-4ALL. We're live Sunday mornings from 6 to 8. That means we're on right now.
And our website, ChristianQuestions.net.
Jonathan, let's look at Luke 13, 10 to 17. We won't read the first few verses, but we'll set the context, and we'll pick up the reading in verse 14. Jesus is teaching on the Sabbath. He's in the synagogue. There's a woman who's been crippled for 18 years that comes to him, and he heals her.
Yes.
All right, so he...
And a spirit crippled her.
So let's pick up with verse 14, because here's the scribes and the Pharisees' reaction.
Indignant because Jesus had healed on the Sabbath, the synagogue ruler said to the people, "There are 6 days for work, so come and be healed on those days, not on the Sabbath."
So they're yelling at the people, not at Jesus now, and saying, "Don't come here to be healed. It's the Sabbath. You shouldn't be doing that."
The Lord answered him. Let's listen to this part, right? "You hypocrites, doesn't each of you on the Sabbath untie his ox or donkey from the stall and lead it out to give it water? Then should not this woman, a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan has kept bound for 18 long years, be set free on the Sabbath day from what bound her?" When he said this, all his opponents were humiliated, but the people were delighted with all the wonderful things he was doing.
So in the last segment, we were listening to Jesus proclaiming himself Lord of the Sabbath.
Yes.
And here he's showing the Sabbath in its proper place.
That's right.
And he's saying, you're not supposed to work. God is right, but...
The law was the tutor to lead them to this point.
And he's saying, you still take care of the necessities of life. And if you can loose your ox to feed him water, or shouldn't I be able to loose this woman from this burden of 18 years? He's saying, it's the same thing. Wake up. Understand what the Sabbath is supposed to be for. The Sabbath wasn't made, a man wasn't made for the Sabbath. The Sabbath was made for man.
That's right.
And that's what we have to see clearly here in terms of Jesus' teaching. And Jonathan, let's go to another soundbite. This is from Gary C. Michael again. And again, he's got the other perspective that we hold, and he's really challenging this idea of, you know, making Sunday the Sabbath day, if you will. And we'll comment on that afterwards, but let's listen first.
Okay. Do we have the power to actually make a day holy? Can we place God's presence in a day other than the day that he said that he would specially be with us? Can we change the birthday of the world? Because, you know, the Sabbath, the seventh-day rest, came after God created the world. It's a historical fact. After God created the world, he rested. That's in the history books of earth and heaven. So that simply cannot be changed. We can pretend, which would be a lie, that Sunday replaced the Sabbath, but how can you replace your birthday? You know what I mean?
All right. That's pretty strong.
It is.
He's very nice about it.
It's a lie.
But he's very strong in his perspective. You know, what are you trying to change? You can't change your birthday. I'd like to set it back a few years myself. But you can't change your birthday. So why are you trying to change the Sabbath from one day to another? You can't change it. God set it in place. You know, why don't you see that? And look, he's right about that. He did set the day of rest being the seventh day in place. Unequivocally, it was set in place. The question is that what we are called upon to exactly follow? See, it's not a matter of changing what was set in place. The question is that what we're supposed to be following exactly to the letter?
So Jesus is our example.
And I would say that we need to understand the teachings of Jesus to understand our application of Sabbath rest. So interesting perspectives. Folks, again, if you have a thought, it's 866-985-4255, toll free, 866-985-4ALL. We are live Sunday mornings from 6 to 8. That means we're on right now.
And our website, ChristianQuestions.net.
Also, if you do want to email us, don't want to talk on the phone, it's Rick, R-I-C-K, at ChristianQuestions.net. That's a personal email. You'll get a personal response. Jonathan, let's go to Galatians chapter 3, verses 19 to 23, because this gives us a sense on building upon the teachings of Jesus now through the Apostle Paul.
What then is the law? It was added because of transgressions, till the seed should come to whom the promise hath been made. And it was ordained through angels by the hand of the mediator. Now a mediator is not a mediator of one, but God is one. Is the law then against the promises of God? God forbid. For if there had been a law given which could make alive, verily righteousness would have been of the law. But the Scriptures shut up all things under sin, that the promise by faith in Jesus Christ might be given to them that believe. But before faith came, we were kept inward, under the law, shut up unto the faith which should afterwards be revealed.
All right, there's a lot in there. We want to try to sum it up. The law, it says, was added because of transgressions. So because sin was in place.
We needed to understand sin.
You need to identify.
Yes.
Danger, Will Robinson. Sin. Danger. Danger. Alien object approaching. You know, that's what you need to be able to understand. Till the seed should come. So until, and who was the promised seed?
Jesus.
So the apostle is explaining to us that you identify sin through this law till the seed should come. And then he says the law was not able to bring mankind into perfect harmony with God again.
No, it wasn't.
It couldn't do it because imperfection can't accomplish perfection.
Got it.
So that's why it was put in place as an identifier. And righteousness doesn't come through the law. It comes through the sacrifice of Jesus.
That's right.
So in other words, there's nothing you or I could ever do to earn that righteousness, that righteous stand.
Exactly.
You can be as, hate to tell you, brother, you can be as good as you want, but you're always going to fall short of God's standard of righteousness.
You got it.
But how do you are you able to stand before God?
Through Jesus.
And that's the only way any of us can in this age now. Folks, if you have a thought, it's 866-985-4255. Toll free, 866-985-4ALL. We are live Sunday mornings from 6 to 8. That means we're on right now. Our website is ChristianQuestions.net. And we're talking about the Sabbath. How do you view the Sabbath? Should we as Christians be celebrating it on Saturday? Or is Sunday our day of Sabbath? Or is Sunday even something different than a Sabbath day? We haven't talked about that yet, but
no,
think
we
about
haven't.
It. I do want to just very quickly, Jonathan, share a personal experience along the lines of kind of what Beth had said in her comments about, you know, having rest be available at any time. And how important that is for a Christian. Personally, for me, the doing the preparation for Christian questions every week is a pretty monumental task.
Yes.
It takes a lot of work and study.
Plus when you work full time.
Right. You know, you gotta still earn a living and to be able to do this. And there are many times, and you know, I'm sorry to admit this, but here's the truth. There are many times where I get so tied up in the effort and I try so hard that I bring my little tiny pea brain to a halt because it can't absorb anymore. And a lot of times this is later at night and I'm trying to, you know, get it. I just want to finish this part. And, you know, you get sort of like writer's block.
Mm-hmm.
And literally, there I have to disengage, and I have to rest from the work, having faith that God will supply the increase. And inevitably, whenever that happens and I come back to the work later,
yeah,
it's a whole different thing. And it's easy and it flows because I was able to, by God's grace, rest.
And step back.
Right. And that's the concept of the Sabbath. So what Beth was saying was very, very true. We can apply that in all different parts of our lives. And there's a tremendous blessing, a profound blessing of just stopping and appreciating the goodness of God. And to me, that's what the Sabbath is telling us to do. Again, folks, it's 866-985-4255, toll free 866-985-4ALL. We are live Sunday mornings from 6 to 8. That means we're on right now.
And our website, ChristianQuestions.net.
Let's look at 1 Timothy 2, verses 4 to 6.
Who would have all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth? For there is one God and one mediator also between God and men, himself man, Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all, the testimony to be born in its own times.
So here, again, it's focusing on something that we know as Christians. We know, look, the centerpiece of the whole plan of God is it the Sabbath?
No.
No, it's Christ Jesus,
mm-hmm.
who is the ransom, the pivot point of everything. So when we look at the Galatian scripture that you read a few minutes ago and the First Timothy scripture, Jonathan, let's put things in place. Let's sort of sum those things up.
The law was put in place to identify sin. That's the first point.
Right. You can't label sin unless you have something to compare it to.
The law was not a replacement to faith, but led men to faith.
So faith is always an important thing, but the law, because it helps us identify what's right and what's wrong, can lead us to a life of greater faith.
And until Jesus, there was no other way. All activities were earthly and carefully laid out.
And that's the thing that you have with the Pharisees to a large degree. They're getting so tied up in the little tiny details of making sure that they fulfill the law exactly and counting every single tiny little piece. And Jesus
They're
is
saying, missing the point.
Right, he's saying, stop. Look at the big picture of what the Sabbath was supposed to be for. Instead of being so particular about these tiny details that really don't matter, be focused on the reason these things were put before you.
And another important point, the law was a dispensational tool.
What? A dispensational tool. All right.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to have to explain that, but let's hang on to that thought for this moment. Let's go back to another soundbite. This is from BibleUniverse.com. Doug Betcheller. Talking about the rest of the Sabbath, and he's talking about some statistics. And again, this goes back to Beth's comment about the need, and what you said earlier about, you know, rest in our world is like foreign to us. Let's listen to this.
People are all stressed out. Let me read some. There's some scientific data that I think is worthy of sharing with you. A Cornell University study of working couples confirms the detrimental effects that work-related stress has on families. Married couples with children burdened by long hours of paid work report the lowest quality of life among working couples. Additionally, catch this, 43% of all adults suffer adverse health effects from stress.
Sounds like we need a Sabbath right away.
Step away from the stress.
It sounds like we need to apply the principles of Sabbath.
It does.
Because without it, we are on this treadmill and running faster and faster and faster and faster. And then, you know, there's no end to it. And there is something entirely detrimental when there's no end to the work.
Mm-hmm.
So if we can apply the principles of Sabbath and have an end to the work and take a breath and appreciate, then going back to the work becomes not a chore, but a privilege.
Good. I like it.
And that's what Sabbath is for. Let's look at Ephesians 1, verses 9 and 10. And folks, again, if you have a thought, it's 866-985-4255, toll-free 866-985-4ALL. Ephesians 1, 9 through 10.
Making known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in him, unto a dispensation of the fullness of times, to sum up all things in Christ, the things in the heavens and the things upon the earth, in him I say.
All right, so a dispensation is literally an administration, a period of time. God had the dispensation of the law in place.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus came and it became the dispensation or the administration of grace.
Mm-hmm.
So it was a different approach building toward an ultimate end. There's another dispensation that will follow. But see, Jonathan, here's one of the things that to me is important. The moral law was meant to be followed by Christians. Ten Commandments.
Right.
Exactly.
Yes.
But on a higher level than Israel. For instance, if you look at the fifth chapter of Matthew, what we find there, for instance, thou shalt not kill.
Good principle.
You believe in that, right?
I do indeed.
And you follow that, don't you?
Yes.
Here's what Jesus did with that, thou shalt not kill. And that literally means thou shalt not murder. He said, you know, the law says thou shalt not murder. He said, but I say to you, if you slander your brother, you're murdering him. So he took that moral law and he raised the standard ever higher.
He was teaching what we're to think in our hearts.
So he's saying the physical part is not nearly as much of an important thing as the spiritual part for mm-hmm. you, my followers. Mm-hmm. Thou shalt not covet your neighbor's wife. Jesus says, if you lust after a woman, he said, you're worthy of utter destruction. So he takes it and he makes it higher, harder in some ways. So he takes those moral things and he puts it in a perspective that really make us think that there's much more to it than a physical law and a physical day, but there's a spiritual component that's critical.
This is Christian Questions. I'm Jonathan here with Rick. Our subject, are the Christian and Jewish Sabbaths the same? So, do Christians have their own Sabbath? Yes or no? That's next.
You're listening to Christian Questions.
Welcome back. This is Christian Questions. I'm Jonathan here with Rick. Our subject, are the Christian and Jewish Sabbaths the same? To be a part of our program, call toll-free 866-985-4255. That's 866-985-4ALL. We're live Sunday mornings from 6 to 8. That means we're on right now on our website, ChristianQuestions.net.
All right. So, what was that? How did you put the question at the end of the last segment? I like that.
So, do Christians have their own Sabbath? Yes or no?
All right. Fess up.
Let's hear it.
Let's try and put this in as best a perspective as we can. We're talking about the Sabbath. Clearly, the Sabbath day was Saturday. There's no arguing about that.
But Jesus is Lord of the Sabbath. He told us.
And what does Jesus say? And you know, we looked at him doing things on the Sabbath that the Jews were just appalled at.
Mm-hmm.
But he always had good reasons for it.
Yes.
So he did keep the Sabbath. And he kept the Sabbath in principle, but he also told us, I'm Lord of the Sabbath. Let's look at Matthew 11, 29 and 30. I think this begins to really open it up.
Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart. You will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light.
All right. Now, there's a scripture that everybody knows.
Mm-hmm.
And we take great comfort in the scripture. But let's read what the scripture is really saying. Learn of me, for I am gentle and humble in heart. And in the King James Version, it says, and I will give you rest.
Mm-hmm.
Here it says, you will find rest for your souls. Where in the Jewish law were they given rest?
They weren't given rest anywhere but on the Sabbath.
Yet Jesus is saying, if you come to me, I will give you rest.
That kind of confirms him saying, I am Lord of the Sabbath.
So he is saying, I think, he's taking the Sabbath principle that God put in place and saying, you will find your rest in me, just as God, through the law, put your rest on the seventh day. He's essentially saying, I am the seventh day. I am the day in which rest comes to the world because I am the sacrifice, the ransom that buys the world back from sin. So I think that do we have a different Sabbath? I think that Jesus is our Sabbath.
But we only worship Jesus once a week.
Oh, stop that stuff. Of course not. And that's the point. And that's why our Sabbath comes with us wherever and whenever we go.
Like Beth was saying.
Exactly. Folks, if you have a thought, it's 866-985-4255. Toll free, 866-985-4ALL. We are live Sunday mornings from 6 to 8. That means we're on right now.
And our website, ChristianQuestions.net.
All right, Jonathan, let's go to another. Again, the reason, the need for the Sabbath is to stop and to rest in Jesus. Let's go back to BibleUniverse.com, Doug Betcheller, talking about some of the statistics on stress. And listen to this, because this is disturbing when you hear this.
And 75% to 90% of all physician office visits are attributed, did you catch that? 75 to 90% of all physician office visits are attributed to stress-related ailments or complaints, according to the American Psychological Association. Stress is linked to the six leading causes of death in the United States. Stress is related to heart disease, cancer, lung ailments, accidents, cirrhosis of the liver, suicide, the pharmacy. So many of the drugs that are sold over the counter, everything from sleeping pills to antacids, are related to stress.
That's not a good sign.
No, it's not.
And so when we have this stress, it's one of the reasons stress continues to build is because there's no relief for it.
Mm-hmm.
And the Sabbath was built as a relief, as a sit back and pause and consider and appreciate. So what we're saying is Jesus is telling us to sit back and rest in Him. We will find rest for our very souls in Him, and that is a stress reliever.
It is.
Jesus, I think, is our Sabbath. As Lord of the Sabbath, that's what He proclaimed. And He said, come to Me to get the rest that the Jews used to get on their Sabbath, because I am your Sabbath. He didn't say those words. Now, I'm reading that into it, but that's the way I understand it. Again, folks, if you have a thought, now would be the time. 866-985-4255, toll free, 866-985-4ALL. We are live Sunday mornings from 6 to 8. That means we're on right now.
And if you missed our first hour, you can see it through CQ Rewind and hear it by logging on to ChristianQuestions.net for our exclusive bonus material, our Rewind content, and full audio files. No cost to you, just a quick trip to ChristianQuestions.net.
It's very important to us that we keep things at no cost to you. Freely we have received, and freely we want to give. So do go to ChristianQuestions.net and avail yourself of all that's available to you.
Jonathan, Rick, shouldn't every day be the Sabbath for us as Christians?
It should, because we should continually be resting in Jesus.
Right.
And that's a hard job, because life gets in our way. It's a hard job. Make no mistake. You know, it almost sounds like, oh, yeah, so you're saying every day should be the Sabbath. In a sense, yes, because we are to, our lives are to be resting in Jesus, because we're supposed to be doing His will, not ours anyway.
That's right.
Let's look at Galatians. You had mentioned this earlier in the program, Galatians 3, 24 to 28.
So that the law is become our tutor to bring us unto Christ, that we might be justified by faith. But now that faith has come, we are no longer under a tutor. For you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ did put on Christ. There can be neither Jew nor Greek, there can be neither bond nor free, there can be no male and female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus.
So the law was very specifically put in place as this tutor. And literally the word for tutor means, where is it? A servant whose office it was to take children to school.
Oh, just kind of leading them to
That's
class.
That's right. It's like the,
I like that.
It's like the human school bus.
That's a great picture.
And what it's saying is, yeah, it's leading them to class to learn of Christ. So the law was put in place as an identifier for sin, and it puts things in a different perspective. Jonathan, let's go to the phones.
All right. We have Don from Connecticut. Good morning, Don, and welcome to Christian Questions.
Well, thank you, and good morning.
Good morning.
And thank you, Rick, for mentioning Islam and for mentioning Islam and their Sabbath. I think it's worth mentioning that, remembering that just as a pretzel has three rings, the Abrahamic faiths are three in number and not two. And it's refreshing to hear Christians make any reference at all to Muslims without inserting a jibe, a dig, or an insult.
Well, and, thank you for that, Don.
Well, I used to be a Christian, and I remember your Lord having said that blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall inherit the kingdom of God. Am I right?
Yes.
You didn't think I remembered anything from those days.
Don, I think you remember a lot more than you let on. That's what I think.
Well, that was said, and any time people of any of the faiths behave with grace or charity toward the others, they qualify, in my opinion, as peacemakers, and I think you're one of them.
Well, Don, thanks so much. We appreciate it very much.
You take care.
You too.
Bye-bye.
And, you know, and I'm glad he mentioned that, because it is important to look upon all the goodness from all perspectives and give credence to it. because, you know, as a Christian, we're supposed to find that which is good. Now, we're supposed to do what, you know, we're supposed to follow our Lord Jesus, no question about it. But we want to find that which is good elsewhere as well.
Absolutely.
So thanks, Don. We appreciate that. So, Jonathan, back to this, the law draws us to learn from Christ. That's the purpose that the law was there. One more soundbite. This is important on the purpose of the Sabbath. This is from Sabbath 1, WayneMuller.com. And just, it gives you a sense of the profound effect of Sabbath in someone's life.
If we get quiet, the still things rise like cream to the surface of our awareness, and we remember all the things that we're holding. And so sometimes we get frightened of Sabbath time, because if we get quiet, I'm going to feel all these things. But the promise is that beneath that suffering is the grace that will bear you up. That's the faith. Sabbath practice is so much about faith. And I learned in the darkest times of my own illnesses that when I lost that faith in the dark night of the soul, I needed others' faith to hold me up.
He talks about something very profound there, and he's talking about getting quiet, because sometimes we run away, and I really think this is a symptom of our world. We run and we run and we run and we run because there's always something else to do and someplace else to go and somebody else to tweet or text or email or watch or be entertained by, all of these things. And we're running away from those things that are deeply troubling inside of our hearts.
And we never address them.
Sabbath is meant to make us quiet so those things can rise to the top, so we can, in fact, be able to deal with those things. And that is the beauty of rest in Jesus, because you don't have to wait for a specific day of the week, but you can go to that place of rest whenever your soul is troubled, whenever you need to be readjusted, and that puts you back in perspective. You know, Hebrews chapter 4 is laboring to enter into rest.
Mm-hmm.
There's a whole chapter about you got to work hard so you can enter into rest. And it really puts things in Hebrews 3. The Israel didn't do that. And in Hebrews 4, it's saying we as Christians ought to do that. Jesus is our Sabbath.
Rick, did Jesus give us a pattern for following after him at his resurrection and teaching the disciples?
And I think, Jonathan, that's one of the final things we want to spend some time on. We won't read all of these scriptures through, but let's just read just the first part, like John 20, verse 1.
Early on the first day of the week.
All right, so this is when he is resurrected. It was the first day of the week, which was not Saturday.
It was Sunday.
It was Sunday. Now, Luke 24, 13 to 15.
Now, that same day.
This is on the road to Emmaus. So on Sunday, Jesus appears, the day of his raising, to some of his disciples. John 20, 26.
A week later.
So that means again on Sunday, what does Jesus do?
Peace be with you.
He appears again.
To Thomas.
And the interesting thing is that of all of the times that Jesus appeared after his resurrection, we don't have any indication that any of those times were not on a Sunday, on the first day of the week.
Mm-hmm.
What's he telling us?
It's interesting, isn't it?
Is it by accident that he just happens to appear on the first day of the week? Is it by accident that he's resurrected from the dead on the first day of the week?
How about the disciples in Acts 27? And upon the first day of the week, when the disciples came together to break bread.
Okay,
right.
So, and that seemed to have been a habit of theirs.
Yes, it was.
So, you know, when we listened to that soundbite a few segments ago about Constantine, you know, changing the Sabbath around, the apostles were the ones who gathered the Christians together on the first day of the week. That is a habit that they started. And again, it's brought up in 1 Corinthians 16:2.
Upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him in store as God hath prospered him, that there be no gathering when I come.
So we have several examples of, like you said, Jesus putting the first day of the week in a very clear perspective, because interestingly, he was resurrected on that day.
Mm-hmm.
And he did his appearances to the disciples. We don't have any indication that any of his appearances were anything other than the first day of the week. In some not New Testament, but ancient Christian writings. Ignatius, in AD 75, in his writings, mentioned somewhat approvingly as no longer Sabbathizing, but living in observance of the Lord's Day. This was AD 75.
Wow.
Okay, this was even before John wrote Revelation.
That's amazing.
When John wrote Revelation, and here's the key, Revelation 1:10, I think this seals the deal, if you will.
I was in the Spirit on the Lord's Day, and I heard behind me a great voice, as it were a trumpet.
The Lord's Day was the first day of the week. Jesus, again, let's try to sum this up. Jesus was Lord of the Sabbath. That's what he said with his own words. Then Jesus said in another place, come unto me and I will give you rest. The law was not able to give them rest except on the seventh day. Jesus was saying, I am Lord of the Sabbath. I am where you come as a Christian to get your rest. You rest in me, and that rest now is available, not just one day a week. That rest is available to you if you rest in me every day. The scriptures show us that Sunday became a day of Christian fellowship and Christian praise and Christian worship. Why? Because it was to show the gloriousness of the resurrection of Jesus. So is Sunday our Sabbath? No! Jesus is our Sabbath. Sunday is the day that we recognize and we come together and worship. But our Sabbath, everyone, our Sabbath travels with us every day of our lives. For Jonathan and Rick, it's Christian Questions. We hope you've enjoyed being with us this morning. And we will be back again next week with another subject. But until then, go to Facebook. Let us know what you think. Check us out. Till then, the Sabbath for Christians. Think about it.